right, Steve Phillips will join us here in a moment. Our Jays and MLB analyst. The Jays, they got rocked last night.
Yeah.
Like it was such a positive evening going into the game. The announcement over the weekend that they're coming home, they'll be here on July 30th, 15,000 people in attendance. I believe there's a hope and a legitimate belief that you could have a packed house come September. They were 2.5 out of the wild card spot. Big series in Buffalo to wrap things up against the Boston Red Sox, and it was over after the first inning. It was 6-0 after the first inning. They got their doors blown off last night, and Ross Stripling really struggled. But he came out afterwards and supplied, I think, an understandable and reasonable explanation for where he's at and where he was at last night, and one that I had not thought of because we're so focused about the Toronto side of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're coming home, and of course you're comfortable, and everyone wants to be here. But he said, I didn't have my stuff. I guess a team like that, it's going to do damage. But furthermore, I was having a tough time knowing that with the news of us going back to Toronto, I'm leaving my wife and kids behind. I guess they're not coming up. So that is not an angle I really had thought of, Gord.
No, you know? And you know what? And I'm going to sound like an apologist for professional athletes, which is an almost impossible position to take. But they are human beings. Brian, I did two bubbles last year. I was in the NHL bubble in Toronto. I was at the World Junior bubble over Christmas. No one wants to hear about how difficult that is emotionally to be locked in that bubble. I mean, hey, Gord, you were at the Royal York Hotel for 40 days. That sounds like I'll take that. Yeah, you might. And these guys make millions of dollars, and there's all of that that goes with it. I get it. But I don't care what you do for a living and how much you make. It's not easy to leave your family.
No, and it can affect the outcome,
Brian,
and the production.
Yeah, Brian, I've worked every Christmas for 26 years. It's not easy to go. Sometimes your family comes, sometimes they don't. When they don't, it's not easy. I love it, what I do. It's part of the deal. So I think what's interesting about that comment to me is that he was so honest about it. And think about another guy who made an honest comment in Buffalo. Remember Ryan O'Reilly at the end of the year saying that, you know, all the losing had kind of destroyed his enjoyment of the game, that it had worn him down. Tons of players feel that way.
Well,
they just don't say it.
Let's bring in Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst. Steve, you've been a GM before. If you're Ross Atkins last night and it's a big game and Stripling gets rocked and you hear him come out with that kind of honesty post-game, how do you react?
So I react with compassion, but in my mind I'm thinking, that's not how we talk about things here, because
right,
as soon as you make it a big deal, it becomes a bigger deal. And, you know, one of the reasons why the Blue Jays have dealt with the adversity that they have is that they haven't let it get to them. They haven't let it bother them. They've just persevered through it. They acted like, you know what, you know, we're just going to play wherever they tell us to play. We're going to go play. We're going to go do it. As soon as you start to make it a big deal, it's like saying, you know, when your team's not hitting with runners in scoring position, as soon as you start making it a big deal, it makes it that much worse because you're thinking about it. You're trying too hard. I 100% agree that the Blue Jays have had the toughest hand to deal with. There's no question. They've been dealt the toughest hand. But the reason that they've performed and gotten through it is because they've minimized the issue. And yes, it is a big deal, but I would have preferred him to be more honest after he pitched well than after he pitched poorly, because it certainly bothers guys as professionals. You have to put it aside. You have to just, you know, leave that stuff at the door, and it's a hard thing to do. And yet it's what you're trained to do as a baseball player, is you don't bring that stuff to the ballpark with you. And you don't use it as the disclaimer for any performance. And so it's true. They've had the hardest hand to deal with. But you know, the reason it hasn't dominated them is that they haven't made it such a big deal. So, yes, I appreciate the honesty, and I believe that that's wearing on him. But I also don't look at it and believe it was the cause of, you know, a six-run first inning.
So that was a bit of a rude awakening for the Jays last night, who were feeling good coming off that Rangers series where they beat them 25-2 over three games. They were 2.5 out of the wild card last night, chasing Oakland. And you got three at home in Buffalo against Boston. You got four at Fenway next week. and the game's over after the first, and the Sox did what they've done a few times this year, the Jays, and made it clear that there is a bit of a discrepancy. But how big of a discrepancy? Where do you see the Jays and the Sox, and I guess you can include Tampa in this, you know, should the Jays be simply focusing on catching the wild card, or do you think the division is still within reach?
I think they can still get the division. I do. I think the Red Sox are going to fall back to the pack. You know, one thing about the Red Sox is I think they've only used six starters all year, and one of them has pitched like twice. I mean, they've only had, I think, two games that they've not used one of their five starters, and one was a doubleheader game. I mean, they've had a remarkable run. And the thing about their pitching is it's not great, but it's never bad. You know, they don't have that third of an inning game. Their guys may pitch to a 4-plus ERA, but when you always pitch to that and it's not, you're getting there by pitching to a 2 ERA one day and a 6 ERA the next day where you deliver the clunker, but you're just always okay, then that wins a lot of games. Mediocre starting pitching, but it's consistently mediocre, allows you to slug your way, and then if your bullpen does a good job, you can hold the lead or hold the deficit to let your offense come back. That's been their formula. There's nothing special about their starting pitching. And so it's actually what the Red Sox are doing is the methodology of the what the Blue Jays need to do. They don't need – I mean, it's nice to get seven innings and one run given up, but, you know, seven innings and four runs given up is still worth winning that game, and you can win that game. And so – you know, I think that the Red Sox at some point are going to have to deal with some adversity like everybody else has with the when it comes to health, and they haven't had to deal with it all that much. And so, you know, the wear and tear of the season, the inevitability of injuries that can take place, and so, you know, there is a real good chance the Red Sox are going to have to go through some of that and could fall back to the pack a bit. And I think the Jays need to just keep winning series. Especially when you're playing the head-to-head series. So, you know, you lose the first game of the series, you've got to bounce back. Doesn't matter the score of that first game of the series. Let them get it all out in the first game and then come back after that and win. The Manoah injury, you know, falling, slipping down the steps in the dugout hurts a bit because he would be starting today. And now they're going to count on Thomas Hatch, who's got a good arm, and he could go out there and pitch a good game. But I sure would like to have seen Manoah against them in this matchup. So, They just got to win series and hope that the Red Sox lose series, and they can certainly get back into that division race.
Steve, do you think the Jays pitching is good enough to keep to win enough of those series to catch a wild card without doing anything at the deadline? Is their pitching good enough?
Well, they need a lot to go right, and timing will matter. Now, you know, the thing for the Blue Jays, you look at them, they've got the biggest run differential in the division. Which means that the reason they aren't leading the division is because the timing of their run differential versus the Red Sox. So the Red Sox, you know, they crushed the Blue Jays, but, you know, if they're winning, they're winning 7-5, you know, that sort of thing, where the Blue Jays will win 10-4 and they'll lose, you know, 5-3. You know, it's always a close game, and they've played the fewest one-run games in baseball. So if the timing is right, they can win with this staff, but you can't rely upon that to make it up and get even it out a bit. So I think they need to improve it. But the Red Sox pitching is not that much better than the Blue Jays pitching. They've just had better timing on the way that they performed. And you know, part of that's just happenstance, right? It's not like you can pick your day that somebody's up or down. But they're good enough to compete, because nobody has great pitching other than maybe the Rays are pretty good, but they don't hit as much as others. But I do think that you know, an improvement in their starting rotation, an improvement at the end of the game, and they can start to make up some of that ground in the division.
With our Jays and MLB analyst Steve Phillips, Jays back in action tonight, game two of their series against the Sox. Thomas Hatch making his debut as a starter tonight in place of Alek Manoah. And there's some news in terms of younger pitchers, and Nate Pearson in particular came out about an hour ago that he's been dealing with a sports hernia issue. So he's going to start building up his arm again, but he's simply a bullpen option. I'm sure they're hoping he gets up here at some point and can factor into the bullpen down the stretch. But I'm starting to get concerned here about where this guy stands in terms of the organization, but also just in terms of his own path. He's had so many injuries. when he has come up, he has not looked good. He has not looked comfortable. If he is becoming more of a bullpen option, he cannot be considered a number one prospect. Like, I'm not sure if you're a top five prospect, top 10 prospect. Like, what is Nate Pearson if he is more of a bullpen option than a long-term starting pitcher at this point?
Yeah, so I think that you know, there's short-term and long-term, you know, issues here. So in the short term, I think it makes a lot of sense to you know, I was calling for that back in June. Put him in the bullpen, let him air it out, let him feel like, you know, as a reliever, they come in and they're aggressive, they pound the strike zone. Let him get back to that mentality of going at guys, use them in the bullpen where you can really use another arm, and then you can figure out at the end of the year about whether you want to stretch him back out again. It could be that with the sports hernia, you know, the six-inning start, seven-inning start may tax him a little bit more because the core is such an important part of a delivery of any baseball player, really, with that core is so critical to repeating your delivery. So maybe the intensity of a short spurt versus long starts would be the better way to go. I'm with you, though, that, you know, it's in you know, it's as a general manager, to be honest with you, what ends up happening is when you count on somebody and they don't deliver the way that you wanted, sometimes you get mad, and you've got to remind you. There's a level of anger that comes up, and you've got to think, wait, obviously he wants it more than I even want it. And, you know, we now have to make the best out of the situation. And just because, you know, whenever you have an expectation, it's a preconceived resentment. You know, like I have an expectation for you. If you don't live up to it, then I get angry about it. And that's not right necessarily. There's a lot that can go into it. So you've got to try to pull yourself back from that as a general manager to be able to have a clear perspective about what he's going to be in the future. And can he still get there? You know, nobody controls the injuries that somebody goes through. So I personally think that he can certainly still turn into a quality pitcher. A lot of guys have had injury problems early. He hasn't had the level of development that you might want because he was so good. You push him through, and then when he's not, or his injuries, and he starts to struggle, he doesn't have a whole lot to fall back on. I wouldn't want to give up on him, but if it was the right deal, and I was getting the value for what I think he really is worth when he's healthy, I might include him in that trade.
Steve, do you see the Blue Jays? I mean, look, if you're looking for a closer, there's a real good one from the Cubs, right? Craig Kimbrell's as good as they come. Do you see the Jays being in that kind of market between now and the deadline?
Yeah, I don't, you know, it doesn't feel like the Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro way of doing it, you know, that they're going to go get the biggest guy out there. Because if, you know, the way I look at it, go get me Max Scherzer. He wants a contract extension, give it to him. And go get Kimbrel. He's got another year in his deal for next year. And let's go. You know, let's get the ace, let's get the closer, and let's let this lineup thump a bit and bring in the intensity level those two guys bring, push everybody in the bullpen forward an inning. You know, when Merriweather and Romano and you know, you get everybody sort of in line there earlier in the game. It shortens the game for the pitchers that aren't as capable. It gives you Ryu, Scherzer, and Ray in a short series, and let's take our chances. Now, you know, and remember, Alex Anthopoulos found himself in this spot in 2015.
Right.
And their run differential was a plus 104, but they were just about a 500 team. And he said, I think we're better than those teams that are in front of us. Yes, we've got some ground to make up, but I think we should go for it because the run differential tells me we're a lot better than our record indicates. And he got Tulowitzki and Price. And then the rest is history. They end up making the run. He got, you know, depending upon what you believe, you know, Mark Shapiro didn't necessarily love that mentality of going all in that year, even though it worked, because it compromised the future of the organization. I can't imagine that that's what they're going to do because it seems counter to the position they had previously. But I got to tell you, it's something I would consider doing. Because if I can get Scherzer, and the way to get him is to give him the extension, And if I can get Kimbrell, even if it doesn't work for this year, I have him for next year. And so I'd be all in on two guys I can control who are veterans, who I can fit into my budget and still stand under the luxury tax threshold. Now that we're going back to Toronto, we're going to get, again, it's only 15,000 fans a game, but again, next year we're going to start to sell out the stadium, and we're going to be in an even better position then. And how could I ever get those two guys next year when I can get them for a playoff run this year and next year? I would take a shot at it.
Well, we had Shapiro on the show yesterday, and there was one phrase he used multiple times that would fit in line with everything you just detailed. When I was asking him about the approach to the deadline, he used the term, we are going to, quote, chase impact, end quote. So chasing impact is Scherzer, Kimbrell. It's not, you know, a guy.
No.
That's chasing impact. So he's on record saying that on this show.
Right.
Take that for what it's worth, but impact is Scherzer and Kimbrell. That's what it is.
The other impact it could be is if you can't get the pitching that you want, Nelson Cruz is impact. Rental player, huge bat, you put him at DH, you know, it limits your ability to necessarily, you know, give Springer a day off and DH him, or Vlad a day off and DH him. But over the last 2 months of the season, maybe that's not as important to them. But here's the thing, you may want to give Nelson Cruz a day off here and there, but he's impact, right? If you can't get the pitching, then do you just stockpile your offense? Is there a way to do it? So there are other ways to do it. If you can't get the pitchers that are impact, there are other ways to add impact, even if you're improving an area of strength by doing it.
Well, we've got a couple of weeks to figure this out, less than that now, but they got to get back on the wagon tonight against the Red Sox, and we'll see what Hatch has in store, and we'll see where the rest of the series goes. Hey, always great catching up with you, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Yeah, my pleasure. The next 10 days are going to be a blast before the deadline. A lot of big names moving.
It's going to be fun. You'll be all over it. As always, there he is, Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst, on TSN Radio all the time, on SportsCenter, TSN.ca. And he's right. The next 10 days are going to be pretty wild. And that was Shapiro yesterday, Gord, chasing impact. Now, he didn't say we're going to get impact. We're going to chase impact.
The problem is to get impact, you have to give up impact.
Yes, you do. Or potential impact. Not guaranteed impact.
Yes, but potential impact.
Potential impact.
This is not pro sports is not a charity.
No, it's not. You got to pay to play. I think they feel like they got a good team. I think Atkins said earlier today it likely will not be addressing the rotation. I think they feel like they've got about what they can get, which maybe means Scherzer's not in the cards. But you call up the Cubs, and you need a third baseman, too. Desperately need a third baseman. Chris Bryant is impact. Kimbrell is impact. Let's get crazy here with the Cubs. That would be pretty wild, and we'll see what happens in the next 10 days.